This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
A Dodgers World Series hero is returning back to Los Angeles for one more year. We've got Teoscar Hernandez reportedly up for trade talks. Same with Tyler Glass now. Dave Roberts is okay with a salary cap. We've got so much to talk about because we've been out for the past 2 weeks, but we are back. It is Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. Brandon, it's so nice to see your face again. I've missed you. How are you, my, my mustachioed king? How are you?
Hey, I'll take what I can get. They call me Bigotes in the street. That's mustache in Spanish. How are you, Jess? It has been far too long. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and whoever else, thems, theirs, and whatevers. Welcome to Deferred Collusion. Back after the Thanksgiving holiday, start of December. Happy belated Thanksgiving, Jesse, to you too. And
happy
everyone, wherever you may be, whenever you may be watching this. Jess, it has been a busy, busy month of November, you know, leading right into the busiest month of the year for most people, December. We've been running around in my house with our heads cut off, in a sense, just living Groundhog's Day as parents to a young kid and working, but it's been a lot of fun. Got to go see Dodger Stadium a little bit. We'll talk about that later. Got to go to Disneyland. Whoa, that was crowded and expensive, but a blessing. But Jess,
yeah,
all of that pairs into comparison to getting to live stream with you and talk ball, brother. Nothing feels better, dude. Just I've been licking my lips to talk some ball. No Diddy.
I mean, technically licking your lips. No Diddy. Did you watch the documentary, by the way?
Yet. I've been waking up around like 3 to get to work, 2 on a couple days for some construction bullshit.
Look.
But dude, I have it in my point is I've been having it in my save folder or whatever, my like watch later thing, and keep falling asleep at like 8:45.
It's fine. I get it, but like I just gotta say one thing about that is I when I see just how dedicated 50 Cent is to just destroying Diddy's legacy, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm being enough of a hater. This guy is like raising the bar in terms of what it means to be a true hater of somebody, of another human being. So I just, it's inspiring, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not being enough of a hater because this guy is like next level hating on this dude. And I think it's an inspiration.
Jesse, it just poses the question, if you believe somebody is truly a monster and you have the means to expose them, I think, you know, it's one of those things. Like if your family's starving, do you steal that loaf of bread? If you have the means to expose a monster that you personally don't like, I think you got to do it, right? Good for you, 50. Yeah.
I mean,
the petty is strong in this one, but like, I don't want to say petty, but like, because these are serious allegations, but like,
right.
I did watch a couple of clips of like some of the jurors being interviewed and it made me want to fucking puke. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
No, it's horrific stuff. And I did see one funny comment though. It was, we'll wrap this up. But I saw a comment saying, now I know why 50 was shot 9 times. Just because of how, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. Just because of how much of a fucking hater this guy is.
Do you remember when he would troll Floyd Mayweather when we were at the company? I would
because he can't read. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give $1 million to charity of your choice if you just could read one page out of a Harry Potter book. I thought that was like the best insult of all time. Dude. Many so men wish death on me, Lord, I don't cry no more.
Oh, God. Hey, have you heard the AI doo-wop version of that song?
No, and I don't want to.
I'm kidding. All right. Well, either
AI
way,
music
Brandon,
is fucking trash.
It is.
Just for the record, dude, right side of history, but just
please
fucking
don't
trash.
Listen to it.
AI slop content. Just don't. It's the slop bowl of content. Anywho.
Miguel Rojas is back, Brandon.
There he is.
We haven't had a chance to record, so we're a little bit behind on this, but I wanted to lead the show by, you know, just giving some love to the World Series hero, the guy that hit what I consider to be the most important home run in the history of the Dodgers. He's back on a one-year $5.5 million deal. It's going to be his retirement year. He's already announced that he will be retiring after the season, so he's running it back, giving it one more go. Guy that, you know, the game honored him in a big way in the World Series, where he barely played the entirety of the playoffs, earned a spot because Andy Páez was struggling. Dave Roberts played his gut, as Joe Davis said, and he ended up having three of the most important plays in the history of the Dodgers franchise with, you know, the pick at second base on when getting doubled off at the end of Game 6, where with Addison Barger getting doubled off at the end of Game 6. The obviously the home run to tie it in the 9th inning of Game 7, and then the throwing Isaiah Kiner-Falefa out at home plate in the 9th inning of Game 7. And bottom
incredible.
Ninth.
Incredible.
The guy
and a little bit of foreshadowing,
just,
right? Because
deserved another shot. Like 100% deserved this contract.
And a little bit of foreshadowing, huh, with Will Smith making that terrific play and then being the one to hit the home run. Because, Jess, I was going to ask you this. Is Miguel Rojas' home run remembered as one of the greatest baseball moments ever if Will Smith doesn't win the game for the Dodgers in the 11th?
No, it's definitely not, because you're going to remember the way the Blue Jays won it. You know, that's just how it's going to – that's just how sports work, man. It's like, you know, there have been, like, amazing moments. Like, remember in Game 5 of the World Series against the Astros, the Dodgers were down 12-9 in the 9th inning and ended up coming back, scoring 3 runs in the top of the 9th in Houston. And, you know, that moment of them tying it up was, like, I remember losing my shit. I was, oh, my God, we're going to do it. We're going to fucking do it. And then we ended up losing anyway. Nobody remembers that. You know,
yeah, well, they were cheating,
the
so whatever.
Back in the ninth.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like you're just not gonna. That's just not the way it works. But
Logan Forsythe started that game at second base, just ball knower. That's just me. Oops. But
funny about Miggy Rowe. Just a thought that I just had. You mentioned that Will Smith was part of that play with the throwing IKF out at home and then hitting the homer, and also in that same inning, it was Páez making the play. It was like this little trinity of players, right, where it was like Páez was only in the game as a defensive replacement. He was out of the game because Miggy Rowe came in for him. And then him, Smith, and Miggy Rowe end up being the three players that won the Dodgers the World Series. Just kind of weird to think that it works out that way. You know?
Well, it is just – it's so very baseball, right? Like it's all almost like – it almost
– This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself. When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Rhymes in a way, and it's just kind of like...
That's the way to put it. It rhymes, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, and I'm going to bring this back around to Miguel, so forgive me for being such a rambler, but that's deferred collusion, baby. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how the Blue Jays are, just were the better team during the series, and in Game 7, it did feel like they were coming up, making all the big plays, right? We did see Vladdy make like an almost celebratory like catch at first after turning a double play on Freddie in the seventh. A couple of, you know, moments like the walk, like the pimp job from Bo on the 3-run home run. I forget who was it, Clement, who slid into home like all fucking just exaggerated
yeah, like
on
Zoolander
the Jimenez double. So like my point was that I'm like, I'm not taking anything away from the Blue Jays, but I just, again, I don't think they played better because they didn't step on the throat. They didn't finish the team and they kept letting the Dodgers sneak back in. And like you said, and I'm so glad you said it, but the game honored Miguel Rojas. He honored it, like the baseball gods honored him for making these stellar defensive plays, you know, in Game 6, for just getting that call, for being that consummate professional that is ready when his number was called. It's going to be one of those performances that are going to be held in baseball lore forever, for, you know, how you coach your team, how you keep your bench guys engaged, how you keep guys fighting for each other. You're going to point to Miguel Rojas not starting in the World Series, not having a hit since October 1st.
In a month, dude.
And showing up, making the biggest defensive play of the year for his team in Game 6, and then coming up with the biggest hit of his franchise's history in, you know, Game 7, only to be outdone by somebody being, you know, I would say arguably inspired. You're seeing Miggy Rowe show up like this. You know, Will Smith was getting close all night, and he, you know, the game honored him. A guy who didn't start the playoffs in Will Smith, you know, due to injury. You know, our homie Ben Rorvit, or wherever he's at now. Where is he? He got picked up by, like, the Reds or something like that. I don't know.
But I think it was the Reds, yeah.
What a job by him, too. And just another guy, just being ready. So, Miguel Rojas, welcome back. That was a $5.5 million swing, because I do believe that's what he signed for on this one-year deal.
Yeah.
Jess, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that there's been some rumblings that this isn't just, like, a player contract, that this is going to be a bit of that transition, like you mentioned, into his retirement, and what most, himself included, are talking about being the start of his coaching career. Dude, what would you think about seeing Miggy Rowe as the Dodgers skipper one day?
I mean, I think that Miguel Rojas is the embodiment of what you want your coach to be, a guy that coaches you, because he already is kind of a player coach. I've never thought that superstars make good coaches. I've never thought they make good GMs because they're not
looking at you, Buster Posey.
They have trouble seeing players. Well, I think being a catcher is different, dude. Being a catcher is way different because that's like the ultimate sacrifice guy. That's like the hardest worker on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think superstars like Michael Jordan had trouble with this. You know, where it's hard to look at players not doing things that you were capable of doing because you think that you can just, I like that guy. I like what he does. He can get better. It's just hard to – they can't project players the same way because they see everything through the eyes of somebody who is supremely talented. And yeah. I just think it's very, very hard for supremely talented people who are above others to be good coaches. And I think that Miguel Rojas is perfect for being a coach because he's the guy that, you know, has done everything the right way, understands sacrifice, understands his role and what it means to the team. And being a good leader is just as valuable as being a good player. And I think he's designed to be if you could design a coach in a lab, I think Miguel Rojas would be something you would come up with. So
I really like that.
I love the idea of Miggy Rowe being a coach.
I love every point you made. I even want to echo just a little bit, like kind of some similarities to Doc Roberts, right? In terms of his career, having a
totally
big playoff moment.
Player.
You
yes.
know what I mean? Like
yeah.
just
yeah.
And for a guy that
exactly
started
right.
his career, was drafted by the Dodgers, for those that don't remember, you know, got the call, was a part of that damn near perfect game for Kershaw, but the no-hitter back in 2013 against the Rockies, you know, gets traded, becomes an elder statesman in Miami, had a little bit of some haters, actually, even in the last couple of years, but specifically Jazz Chisholm just kind of saying that Miggy Rowe wasn't that guy you thought he was, but... You know what, dude?
Come out looking like the winner in that, though? You know what I mean?
Absolutely, like, man. Actions speak for themselves, yeah. especially when you're not breaking bread yeah. with someone. I think it's always yeah. important that, like, what we hear is, you know, maybe 25% truth a lot of the times, you know, unless it's being reported on by, like, the source, you know? But Miggy Rowe is one of those guys that... is just as blue collar it gets, a guy that's had to earn every hour, every out that he's, you know, ever got to record on a diamond. And like you said, the game has honored the dedication to the craft, a guy that humbly started coaching up Dodgers superstar Mookie Betts to learn shortstop, instead of being a fuck you, that's my position. You know, why am I just not starting there? Like, there are right. plenty of guys in this league that, hey, man, you've worked your whole life. You get the bag, whatever. You feel some entitlement to that position, whatever. Who am I to say anything? But I just think it speaks to the character that the Dodgers are cultivating, not only in their farmhouse, but in their organization at large. And this is how you ensure young players want to stay in a franchise. It's not just the superstars, but it's the blue collar guys, the guys that don't have the Ohtani talent or the Mookie, you know, player sheet or the Freddie contact, whatever, right? These just hyper elite, best of the best skill set guys. You got to have your grinders, your guys that maybe only last, you know, 5 years in the bigs, but maybe get 2-3 shots at a title, you know? And like, I'm kind of reaching with this, but I would say like your Alex Woods or your Ross Striplings are these guys that I think maybe if they come up in a Reds organization or something like that, you know, like a Pittsburgh or whatever, maybe they don't develop like they do in the Dodgers and
yeah.
don't really get those extra years in a career and get a shot at a ring. And I don't know. I'd love Chicken Strip. I love A. Wood. Just a couple of guys that came to my mind off the top, but yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I just love having Miggy back, and I just think it's ultimately going to be great because, as you know, and I'm not alone in this, but the Dodgers are ushering in a youth movement. I think that's going to be the big headline of the Dodgers offseason moves is going to be getting younger. So a guy with the just dog, the proven leadership abilities and just, you know, experiences, Miguel Rojas is going to be invaluable on and off the bench. So love to have him back.
Love
and
that.
I would love to see him get a three-peat.
And I believe his bat, the game-tying home run that he, you know, the bat that he used to hit the game-tying home run was just arrived to Cooperstown earlier today.
Yes, sir. As of recording, what is today, December 5th? Friday, December 5th. Yeah. I think this is going to come out tomorrow. But, yep, his bat made it to Cooperstown from that Game 7 home run, dude, that I got to tell you, I keep watching in different languages, and, like, the Japanese call is so sick. The fucking, like, German call is crazy, dude. Just a YouTube troll, but I don't know. I can't get enough of it. I can't keep watching.
You know what my favorite call is of that?
Hmm.
It's the Sportsnet Toronto call of that home run. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking hater, like 50 Cent. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. I love that, dude. Well, speaking of Toronto, while we're on them,
Miggy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's go to Toronto because they're not fucking around, Brando.
They're not fucking around. And as a hater, I want to get your take on San Diego's own Dylan Cease signing a 7-year, $200-something million deal with those Blue Jays of Toronto. Jesse, how do you feel?
Yeah, it's Dylan's contract is 7 for $210 million. I think it's a massive overpay for Dylan Cease. And it's not, that's not me knocking on the guy. I just think it's a massive overpay. I think this is what Toronto has to do and should do. I'm not actually criticizing them for making the move. I think it's actually a good move for them because I think it's hard for them to get a guy like a Juan Soto. And I do think that the Kyle Tucker stuff might be a little bit tough for them too. It's hard to get superstars to go to Canada and pay the Canadian taxes. They have to go through customs every single time they go in and out. They fly on a road trip or whatever. It's hard to convince superstars to do it. But they have the money. They just got all this money from the World Series, right? They made a ton from all the home games that they hosted. They have a ton because they have one of the best TV deals in baseball because they control the Canadian market. So they actually are in a great position to spend a lot of money. But this is the type of star that I think is willing to go to them because Dylan Cease probably wasn't going to get 7-2-10 from, like, the Yankees. You know, they probably weren't going to do that because he's just – his numbers don't back up that contract. And I think that he could have a Cy Young caliber season. He has the stuff for it, but he hasn't proven himself to be that like top 1% of pitchers that, you know, can win a Cy. He hasn't proven that yet.
Yeah. I would put him at a tier below like a Glasnow. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's an S tier, A tier, like I would put Glasnow like hovering at SA, but in a, wow, that sounds gnarly. SA, sorry, what I'm saying is hovering around that S tier, A tier, but a clear A tier pitcher, right? Where Dylan Cease,
let's say like an A minus tier, yeah. A tier.
I think flirting like on his best days can be like an S tier pitcher, right? The like cream of the crop, best of the best, ace of an ace. I don't think that Cease can be on his best day. I think he can be. At his best day, he can be a 1, but I think he's a 2 or a 3 in his heart, you know? But he's getting paid like a 1 right here.
That's the thing. It's like, listen to the numbers. It's 8-12 with a 4.55 ERA and a 1.33 whip. That's his contract year. You know, it's like, this is not – that's like Lance Lynn stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just saying that's – you do not get this type of contract – off of this type of season, unless it's to a team like Toronto that has trouble getting like the Juan Sotos and the Shohei Ohtanis to come to them because it's hard to convince people to go. You have to overpay to get them in-house, and I think that they had to do it to get a pitcher of Cease's quality, especially with Scherzer coming off the books. And, you know, there's no guarantee that Jose Berríos is going to be all that great next year. So I think this was the right move for them. But, I mean, he has a career. Sorry, I know you're trying to talk here, but he has a career .367 with a 1.3 whip, and he's only had
that's pretty good.
Three seasons out of his seven seasons with an ERA under 4.
He was also on the White Sox for a few of those years, so I think it.
And he only has had one
skewed.
Yeah, but I mean, one of those seasons he had a 2.2 ERA. He was really good, but since really then, good. A 4.58, a 3.5, and a 4.5. You know, so I think he's more close. I think he's closer to the 4.55 guy than he is the 2.2 guy. Is what I'm trying to say.
Ooh, I dig that. But I think that his numbers. Yeah. I think that's where his numbers show. I think they agree with you that he's that 3.5 career pitcher. And I want to get your 2 cents on this, Jesse, because I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate for Cease, because we have seen him have electric stuff. And, you know, I love to bring this up. I was there when Shohei hit that 2-run bomb off of Cease, or was it a 3-run? I don't remember. But when he hit that bomb,
we were down
3-0
in that game.
Yeah. We were off of like a rough first inning by Yamamoto, who would then dial the fuck in, but would leave around the 5th. Doesn't matter. But I was there when Shohei just hit that tank off him, and you saw the body posture change, and you knew it was a mental fuck up, and he just was like, fuck, dude. And he like tried to lock back in. And I think he grew a lot in San Diego, but I want to ask you, dude, with how turbulent things were and continue to be in San Diego, do you think that has affected his performance on the field? I just say all that long-winded shit because I think he's kind of an emotional player.
Yeah, I don't think he's I'll put it this way. I would say that, like, Padre fans probably aren't that bent out of shape about Dylan Cease leaving.
I would agree.
I do follow a couple of, like, Padres accounts. I don't think that they were super, like, upset about Cease leaving. I think that they probably want Michael King back more than anybody.
Which I can dig. King has been fantastic, dude. Yeah. Like, for real.
Yeah, well, Cease, I do think, to your point, like, kind of has a checkered playoff history where he struggled in the playoffs a little bit. And I think that he might have some, like, I don't want to say he's got, like, weak mentality, but he might get a little flustered from time to time in those tougher moments. And, you know, maybe going up against the Dodgers in that rivalry was a little was a bit of pressure that he didn't know that he could, you know, that he couldn't handle. But I think he's a great fit for Toronto. I think it's actually a pretty much like a slam dunk signing for them. And even though I do think it's an overpay, like, I just don't see him getting that money from any other team. Personally.
Yeah, dude. I just want to.
But they also signed. Go ahead.
I just want to give Cease one last little nod because, like you said, he's had a checkered playoff history, and his past performance, I think, is also checkered. Right? We've seen some seasons where he's, you know, I think finished as like high as like 5th in Cy Young voting, and seasons like you said on his contract year where he threw a 5.45. I just got a feeling that there's going to be some magic in Toronto, and there's just something that I feel. Do you remember when Robbie Ray went to Toronto? That first year in Toronto, he had a 2.84 ERA with a 1.04 whip, and I really feel like we're going to see Cease have a similar transition into a more stable home in Toronto with a team that's a little bit, you know, younger now and a little bit hungrier, having just been to the dance and, you know, taken the champs to the limit. So look for Dylan Cease to have a big bounce back year and at least give Toronto fans the false hope of thinking that this was a good contract, because it's going to age super poorly. But look for him to have a hot first season in Toronto. That is my predizione.
I like that, but I think it's possible for a contract to be an overpay and still be a good contract. You know, I do think that's because it's team dependent, right? It's
dude,
very
make
much
me
team
inquisitive.
Dependent.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
I do, dude.
I like that. Inquire.
The Blue Jays were the only team to give Springer the amount of money that they gave him. They were the only team to to match like the Shohei offer. Like they were in on Soto like they have to, like I said, they have to spend a shitload of money to get these guys in-house.
It's and to your point, brother.
And they're one of the few teams that has a TV deal that allows them to do it. So,
and not to mention, their ownership is the second richest ownership in baseball, second only to Steve Cohen, who they had to make a brand new tax bracket for. Jesse, I am excited for Toronto. There's a lot going on in the AL East.
They also signed... They also signed this guy, Cody Ponce, who was like a KB, a Korean League superstar. Mm-hmm. He was bad in Major League Baseball. He hasn't pitched in MLB since like 2021 or something.
Ooh.
But he went over to KBO and he's like upped his velocity and he's developed this really nasty changeup. And he put up like ungodly numbers in the KBO, which, you know, sick. Take it with a grain of salt. These aren't Major League hitters, but they gave him a 3-year deal. They see something in him. And I actually think that's like a pretty under the radar signing that could pay some dividends. I do really like what the Blue Jays are doing because they have to operate a little bit differently than most teams, being that they're the only team in Canada. It's tough. It's just tough to get guys there. So I really do like what they're doing.
I love it. Invest in your team because you know you have a monopoly on the market. I mean, they saw what happened when the Raptors won a championship. That city showed up like a million deep for that parade. And now they got a taste of being, you know, two outs away from a World Series. Like, I want to see them go all in.
Toronto has had a pretty tough month against LA because they lose the World Series in early November to the Dodgers.
Bang.
Then the Kings beat the Maple Leafs. And then just the other night, Rui Hachimura hits a game-winning three-pointer against the Raptors in Toronto. Pretty rough month against LA sports. Speaking of Toronto, though, we did get a little commercial just with Ryan Reynolds just posted on his Instagram a video of Freddie Freeman going to a Toronto kids hospital, I believe. What was it?
Like the Sick Kids Foundation, I believe. We should actually have that.
I actually have it right here.
Yeah, we should have it ready to roll, actually.
Yeah, so Ryan Reynolds, you know, says that they have this great Canadian to show up for these kids. And it turns out that it's Dodgers star Freddie Freeman who just broke the hearts of Blue Jays fans. Take a look at this.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. You know, ever since we started making our annual video to raise money for Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto a few years ago, I've heard from so many generous Canadians offering a co-star that we actually have a wait list. And this year, well, it just happens to be the pride of Ontario and Los Angeles. That's right, Mr. Freddie Freeman.
I love that one's a really good one.
Hey, kids. It's me, Freddie Freeman.
What a loser.
Trust me, man. We know who you are.
You've really got some nerve coming here.
I just wanted to visit because I'm just so happy and so proud of how you guys are.
Whoa. Whoa.
Who threw that?
Go back to your sunshine and traffic, you hoser. You ruined everything.
By the way, I love what you guys are doing here.
Let's go, Blue Jays. Let's go Blue Jays!
I asked him in March. What are the odds? Donate
That's
before
awesome.
Midnight on December 24th, and our friends, they're gonna match donations up to $1 million.
So funny, dude. That's absolutely
That's awesome.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Yeah. Freddie is the best sport. How could you not love this man? It's insane to me. I'm sorry, Atlanta. He's going in the Hall of Fame as a Dodger. What?
I know. It's crazy. I love that commercial. I do think it's like kind of – I think that this shows that like a good way of showing that this is all just a game. And it's good to see like Toronto, like the Toronto Hospital sort of playing along with it a little bit. It was
100%, and this is how it should be. You know what I mean? We should be able to laugh at ourselves like, hey, that was an incredible, like, heated sports rivalry, right, for seven games. And it ends, and we're all just back to being people. And I love that a megastar like Freddie Freeman has no problem showing up on set to just get roasted by a bunch of children. And it was genuinely funny in a world of like poorly written comedies, like this era we're in. Like that was genuinely funny. And dude, I just, how could you just not love Freddie Freeman for real? Like what a just stand up man. And it goes back to what we were talking about, the kind of culture that you cultivate when you have personalities and, you know, just family men and just these type of.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Guys, I can laugh themselves. They're big leaguers, dude. They're so damn wealthy. And they're playing a kid's game, and it seems like that fact isn't lost on them, and that a guy like Freddie Freeman can do this in his, like, what, 15th season? Pfft. Just tip of the cap, just class act, so funny, just so good.
Love it. I love the fact that it was...
No notes.
Because I've been waiting for that Canadian... Dodger Canadian comparison connection because you know he was he obviously plays for Team Canada in support of his mom when you know when they do the World Baseball Classic, which I'm assuming he'll probably do again.
Comment I saw on the video on their official like clip was, you're gonna love him in the World Baseball Classic, and I'm like, that's the point. Mm-hmm. Like that's why this is all fun. Like, hey, you broke our hearts, but you can ingratiate yourself by hitting a few dingers for us now. Go Canada!
Absolutely. But let's move on here because we do Dodgers rumors, speculation,
a lot of specs.
But there is a lot of talk about what the Dodgers are going to do this offseason. We obviously have spoken ad nauseum about the Dodgers' top priority probably being improving the bullpen and moving Teoscar Hernandez over to left field, improving the right field situation. But that might actually solve itself by the rumors that the Dodgers are considering trading Teoscar Hernandez altogether. And there are some reports coming out that he is available in trade talks. He has 2 years left on his deal. What does he have?
I actually
looked at it. His contract was so he signed a 3-year deal in the offseason. So I do believe he has 2 years left. So
it's pretty reasonable. Said, there's a little bit of deferred money on it, but I think they're around like $17 million a year, give or take. Crazy money.
Depending on the return, there's a chance Dodgers would eat some of that money. That's a team that would be willing to eat some money if the price was right. So what are your thoughts? Because there's also reports about Glasnow, but before we get to him, thoughts on trading Teo. Do you think this would be the right move? What would you want to get back? Do you want to see Teo next year in left field? Would you be okay if they rolled him back out for right field? Like, just give me your overall sense of this.
Well, I don't. I don't want to see him traded. However, I get the logic behind it, especially in getting younger. And it did maybe feel like he was getting a little bit outmatched at the end of the playoffs there. Kind of seemed like, I think after that home run against the Phillies, maybe he didn't do too much. There were some brutal strikeouts where he was just swinging at only balls out of the zone with bases loaded in the World Series that were just terrible, coupled with some just... absolutely like abysmal defensive plays, giving up extra bases, and all that
he homered off of Scherzer. he homered off of Scherzer, and then he had the sack fly in Game 7. Other than that, he really didn't do much in the World Series.
Well, huge sack fly. You can't knock it for that. But
it was
a huge
sack fly.
That
and also, it probably should have been a base hit, by the way.
Who's in center field? Was it Ernie Clement?
Varsho.
It was Dalton Varsho. Yeah, he was playing just an insane high-level center field all series. It was just fun to watch. But yeah, I think ultimately the Dodgers are best suited, at least to start the 2026 season, with Teo in left field. Some combination of Tommy Edman and Andy Páez in center field. And I still want to see the Dodgers go after Harrison Bader. That is my big off-season signing. So that means, you know, he could be locking down right field. I don't mind it.
And you know, this is all under the assumption that the Dodgers that the Kyle Tucker rumors are not realistic, which we've talked about. Like,
I'm not
be in on Kyle Tucker. There are baseball fans that are like so scarred by what the Dodgers are doing that they think. Being that the work stoppage is coming, a lockout is likely coming, where there's going to be a salary cap implemented, the Dodgers might just do this now, sign Tucker, and worry about the consequences later, sort of thing, depending on how much deferred money he's willing to take and all that. But that being said, I'm okay with. I think I would love to have Teo back so long as it's in left field, We've talked all about this, but like the Dodgers minor league system, the best position that they have right now is in the outfield. Like they are stock full of outfielders. Four of their top five prospects are outfielders. So like trading Teo does make a lot of sense. Not that I want to see it happen, but you know, I think that it's probably like the one thing that the Dodgers could do that I think is totally justifiable. You know, like I think it makes more sense than trading Muncy. You know,
I agree, and they're not going to trade Muncy. You know, I mean, as of yet, you know, to start the season, they're not. They're going to keep their guy. They're going to keep the band together and count on Clutch. There will be an influx of younger blood. We will see some of these younger prospects in the outfield. But I'm not too sure how dramatic of the youth movement we're going to see from the minors, because it does feel like there's a bit of a logjam of talent in the infield as well. Jess, I was just noting that there's a bit of a logjam of talent, so I don't know how much we're going to see of the youth movement from our minor leagues in the outfield, but even in the infield, there's a logjam. You know, Freddie's not going anywhere. You know, Rojas is going to be probably – you know, only playing like 3-4 times a week. So I think that's going to open the door for Ha-Seong Kim to take some lion share at second base. And, you know, are we going to see a younger third baseman kind of rotate in? Are we going to see, I don't know, Dalton Rushing take more reps at catcher? Or maybe we're going to see him move to a different position. I've even heard some rumblings of him moving to outfield or third base. I'm like, I don't know.
That's another thing. Like he could play left field, and I think it's more likely he's the backup catcher because of
totally.
A, he hasn't produced all that much offensively, but B, Will Smith, you know, he just had the most innings ever in the history of a World Series behind the plate. Like, this guy is the second best catcher in baseball behind Cal Raleigh right now. And, you know, there's an argument for him to be the best.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman is also 37, 38 years old. Like, we don't know yet if the Dodgers are going to re-sign him when his contract is up after next season.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might consider moving Rushing to first. There's a lot of different moving parts here. I think they'll probably give Freeman like a 2-3 year extension. You know,
they're giving whatever he wants. They're going to give him whatever he wants.
Well, let's be real. Freddie is like, he's got such a good swing that like even if he's not hitting 30 homers a year, he's still going to hit like 290. You know, he's like John. You know what you know who he is? He's John Olerud, dude. He's like the same player.
That's a good comp.
You know, he's just like a better version of John Olerud. Yeah, because they swing the same. They look the same.
Really
I would love to see Freddie at first base. I would love to see him at first base wearing a helmet, like on the
field.
That'd
be rad. That'd be super rad.
You know, like old school John Olerud? Yeah, that'd be dope.
That'd be sick. Yeah, dude. So that's kind of why, like, I feel like the Dodgers are stacked. I don't think that the outfield, infield, whatever, I don't think there's a lot of movement to be made in terms of, like, star players. I know I've mentioned Harrison Bader. I'm going to keep banging on that drum, but I feel like you get him
I think he
right.
makes the most sense. I agree with you.
Dude,
he makes the
I
most
just
sense.
Think I
yeah.
love the fit. I think he would look so good in Dodger blue. Could you just see him in a day game in that crisp white
too.
Uni? Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. dude. That is why I'm attracted. Yeah. But also, obviously, yeah. a high contact hitter. We saw what he was doing in the playoffs on one leg, you know. We still couldn't throw around
him. He would have... I got to say, he was like one of the scariest players that the Phillies had in that series mm-hmm. against the Dodgers. And the only reason why he wasn't a bigger impact was because he got hurt.
Yep.
Because there was like a chain reaction of events where they had to pinch run for him. But he's the one that got the base hit in game two where the wheels almost fell off. The, mm-hmm. the Dodgers, thank God, ended up turning the wheel play on a bunt by Bryson Stott. But otherwise, yeah. you know, they probably wouldn't have done that had Bader been healthy at that time. So like,
I just rewatched
the
John Boy breakdown of that wheel play today. It was at like 2:30 in the morning. I was getting ready for work and I watched it real quick, like for like 13 minutes. And like they turned the final like out of the inning and I was like, here, that's how you fucking do it.
Yeah,
and I was like laughing because I still got that adrenaline rush. But yeah, dude, I mean, yeah. and that was the first out of the inning, dude, is what's crazy. Castellanos at third.
But also, you know, this is the perfect segue to my next point. That play should have never been needed to happen because the Dodgers had a 4-1 lead going into that ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because Doc didn't want to throw Roki out there a second game in a row. They threw Trinan out there. The Dodgers don't have a super reliable bullpen situation right now. It still remains to be seen if they're going to bring back Evan Phillips or not, who's going to have to sit out, I believe, because he's going to be rehabbing for Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to, you know, they might bring him back. We're not sure yet. But I mean, like, River Ryan's coming back. Gavin Stone's coming back. But we don't necessarily have a bullpen deep that we're comfortable with yet because we don't know what's going on with Gratterall's shoulder. There's a lot of question marks about Tanner Scott still. We just don't. No. So
how do you feel?
I think that actually, like, I think that the Dodgers trading Teo and improving bullpen could be a potential thing to monitor here because they might want to open up some money to go sign Edwin Diaz, who's obviously the biggest free agent bullpen arm out there. Not that I'm super high on Diaz at this point of his career, but I do think he improves the bullpen, and I do think the Dodgers, they have unlimited money, but I don't think that they're just like looking to continually go over this luxury tax and keep paying these taxes in perpetuity, especially with all the deferrals that they have 10 years from now. They want to get some money in line here, and I think that trading Teo is a way of doing that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I just don't think that it's for another high-end closer. I think there's a little bit of buyer's remorse on Tanner Scott. So as you and I have mentioned a lot, like the Dodgers' plan for success relies on Tanner Scott, like closing down the ninth. And if it's not him, I agree. We would love to see, you know, a return with Evan Phillips. Like you mentioned, River Ryan and the like are very exciting additions, but we don't know what we're going to get just yet off of the rehab of these guys. You know, it's a big bucket of ifs. But
the other rumor is that supposedly Tyler Glasnow is available and that he would potentially be thrown out there because he's the other contract that some other teams might look at and be like, you know what, we could take this on because we get an ace caliber pitcher out of it. And especially with River Ryan coming back, Gavin Stone coming back, the Dodgers could theoretically fill that void with Glasnow gone by bringing in one of those younger guys, start saving a little bit of money and giving younger guys a better opportunity. Because at this point, like, River Ryan might be the next Tyler Glasnow. You know, we don't know yet, but he might be because he was really good before he got injured. So they could use Glasnow as a trade chip. Do you want it? How would you feel if the Dodgers traded Glasnow? Because that was one that was sort of surprising to me. I wasn't expecting it when I saw the report.
I have a very strong take about Glasnow in any trade rumors. So this ties in with Teo, so I mean, I was going to fumble my way into there, but basically, I don't think they trade Glasnow for anybody, but I think there's one player that they will trade for Glasnow, and I think that's the whole reason why there are these rumors in the first place are for that one player. My question is, who's worth Tyler Glasnow, right? It's not an outfielder that I can name, right? I know some people have been thrown around like, oh, maybe there's a fit in Boston, blah, blah, blah. I don't see it. I think that the only thing that makes sense to me would be offering a trade package of Glasnow, Teo, some maybe other pitching prospects. I don't know if it would be more outfield prospects like a Zaire Hope or whatever, but to court the Tigers releasing Tarek Skubal into Dodger blue. I think that would be the package that they would need because not only does Glasnow replace them as their ace, but he's a proven playoff performer just like Teoscar Hernandez. Teo can slide into their DH if they need to, whatever, keep him in the outfield, whatever. But then you throw in some young talent like Zaire Hope, whatever. That's definitely more than enough return to get 1 year of Tarek Skubal, who then signs an ultra deal with the Dodgers. And that, Jesse, is how I would see the Dodgers using that talent and this like last potential gasp of capital before a potential lockout after the end of the 2026 season to really ruin baseball. And that is why I think these rumors are circulated, because I don't think there's a return that's worth Glasnow's contract. I think it is team friendly if he's healthy, and Teo is a relatively short term deal. So yeah, maybe they like try and get a return on investment, but the money's already deferred.
Yeah.
The annual like value isn't high. And like, dude, for what? Like, you know, you got these young outfielders, but like, do you really need, I don't know, whatever. Like I'm just saying, I think that there's smaller moves on the like peripheries that they can make for like bullpen talent, which is always so volatile, Jesse, that I think is going to be their MO. Cause I don't think they're going to be big spenders this off season. Because Tarek Skubal is a free agent after this year. So, Jesse, that is the big fish. That is why I don't think they're going to spend on Kyle Tucker. And I do think that they're going to be a real player for Skubal. And if it doesn't work out, watch out, because they're going for fucking Skeens in a couple years too. Dodgers.
Right. I've already got it in my head that Skeens.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
He probably is going to be a Dodger, like at some point, or a Yankee. He's going to be one of the two. But let me just, okay, a couple things. Just bear with me.
He's
going
to be a Blue Jay, dude. Skeens is to the Blue Jays.
You said a lot, so let me sort of like
package
this as best as I can here. No, it's okay. I don't think that Teo and Glasnow would go to the Tigers, because I do think that's a bit too much money for them. I think that it's a good fit for them. I agree with you. It might be a little bit too much money, but I remember the Tigers supposedly made some extension offer to Skubal that was apparently like rejected. It was offensive to them, where it was like, it was very short term. It was like a short deal.
It was
not
like
a
5 years, $100 million.
Yeah. Right. And you know, this is a guy that's probably going to be worth like a 9 year, you know, $400 million deal. Yeah.
It might be the biggest baseball. Yeah. It might be the biggest.
It will be.
Pitching
it will be the
history.
Biggest pitching. It will be like 100%. So I do think that Glasnow to the Tigers, packaged with one of the Dodgers' top prospects for Skubal, and maybe some like financial relief there, does make some sense. There's only 3 years left on Glasnow's deal, and the Tigers do want an ace. If they're going to lose Glasnow, lose Skubal, they do want to keep that momentum, and Glasnow is a guy that could keep them there as a very competitive number one. To go along with Flaherty and Mize. It's not amazing as Skubal is, but I mean it's doable. They can compete in that central division. But I think that Teo might be a little bit too much money to tie into there. Dodgers might have to eat a lot of that. I think those two trades might be separate, if I'm being honest. That's if they trade both, that would be my take. But I do agree with you that Teo is a good fit for them, because they do need that veteran presence, that bat, that offensive producer, especially, you know, considering they struggled to score runs.
Well, keep in mind, say the Dodgers eat that deferred money and they take a couple million a year and they keep Teo. So say you got to pay him for a year and a half. If they trade for him in 26, yeah. Let's assume there's no lockout. They can afford like $30 million if it's $15 million a year. You know what I mean? I think they would do that. And I agree with you that the Dodgers would have to eat some salary. But I think if the Dodgers are going to covet youth like we're talking about, and maybe they don't have to give any prospects, they eat some money, but, get Glasnow, get Teo. I'm not saying I want this to happen, but I do think that the Tigers are going to be greedy in a way that maybe is a little unfamiliar to your average fan because of, I think, the shitty return for Verlander and then getting to see him go win a couple titles with, well, one title with the Astros and one that they cheated, but oops.
But keep in mind something here because...
Fuck Josh Reddick, dude.
Scooble is, I know. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that in a second.
On the way out. I'm going to add that to the notes.
Because we're running a little long here, but... Yeah. Scooble is a Scott Boras client, so there's no guarantee that he's just going to sign some extension with the Dodgers.
Right.
It's most likely he's going to end up in free agency and test the market. And then you're going to have Steve Cohen. They're going to have Steinbrenner. You're going to have Mark Walters' team bidding on him. And the Dodgers could outbid anybody, but I mean, I don't think Scooble would in a million years sign an extension with the Dodgers. He's just not going to do it. He might sign with them as a free agent, but not an extension in-house because Boras is going to test the market. Like, you can book that.
Totally.
That's a guarantee.
But
so that's
once
the only
Dodgers
thing about,
get that
like,
sweet, sweet Dodger blue on him, dude, and he feels it go into his skin, it might just get into his brain, dude.
Well,
it worked for Mookie.
When he goes to free agency, yes.
Worked for Mookie.
When he goes to maybe I wouldn't count on it, Brandon. I really
worked
wouldn't.
For
Boras
Mookie,
doesn't operate
dude.
Like that. I know, but he wasn't a Boras client. This is a totally different situation.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Here's one to watch. The Red Sox have been trying to trade Jarren Duran for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they are looking for a true number two. They just traded for Sonny Gray. I saw Jared Carrabas and tons of Red Sox fans saying that they like the move so long as that's not the number two. So long as he's not their number two starter behind Garrett Crochet. Who's a perfect number two starter behind Garrett Crochet? Tyler Glasnow would
true.
Be. So I could see Glasnow for Duran and then maybe, you know, putting the Red Sox in a position to eat most of the money. That's an option because I think they're all in on Roman Anthony. Like, that guy's untouchable.
Yeah.
Dodgers would never get him. So I think that Duran would make some sense. I think he's got 1 or 2 years left. I'm not exactly sure. It might be one. But that one does make some sense to me because that's a guy that you could put into right field. He might be a left fielder, actually. Fuck. He might
that's
be a left fielder. That might cause some problems. But then you could trade Teo after that, and then
maybe.
All of a sudden,
or maybe they
kicks in,
or you know, maybe they trade Teo to Boston for a one-to-one. You know, Boston was in on Teo before the Dodgers offered him that extra year.
Look, and I'm not super high on Jarren Duran to the point where it's like I'm comparing it to the Glasnow deal. I'm
totally.
Saying that one or to the Scooble
just that
deal.
It makes sense.
That
yeah.
one just feels. Realistic to me in terms of what fills a void for the Dodgers. So we'll see. I don't want to see either of these guys go. You know, I would love to see them go for a three-peat and run it back one more time and see if they can become the first three-peat champion in 26 years. So,
got to, right?
I mean, that's what
got
I
to keep the
to
band
see.
Together, dude.
Hey,
dude, you know what we haven't
plus,
mentioned
you know,
yet?
The Dodgers can – what?
Real quick, a couple of ring recipients, dude. Chris Taylor and Austin Barnes. Just a couple. Just want to give them a shout real quick. We love you guys.
Hell yeah, dude.
Just thinking of you.
You're going to get some rings this year.
Hey, a lot of talk about Kenley Jensen coming back to the Dodgers, too. Just want to say it's not going to happen. No.
Yeah.
Way. Sorry.
It's not.
That's all. Just want to say it's not even worth really talking about, but that's all.
Devin Williams went to the Mets, so you know he's not going to be coming to the Dodgers. I think Edwin Diaz is one to watch. You know, and I do think that one of those trades could free up the money to make that happen. Not that the Dodgers are worried about freeing up money, but I do think that like it's in the back of their minds. Like, hey, we don't want to have a $700 million payroll at the end of this. We do want to tone things down a bit. And if we can trade some older guys that have kind of been injury prone, like a Glasnow, and we can, you know, shore up our bullpen for like, a high price bullpen, they might consider doing that.
Totally.
Because it's very likely the salary cap is going to be discussed when the when a potential work stoppage happens in 2027, when the new CBA is implemented. And Dave Roberts was on a podcast. What show was he on? I forget what it was, but he was on a podcast and he was asked if he would be okay with a salary cap. And he basically said that he would be, so long as the salary floor is also implemented, forcing the bottom feeders to also spend money rather than, you know, leeching off of the Dodgers and Blue Jays TV deals that have basically propped these garbage organizations, these poverty franchises up for the past 10, 15 years. So,
these corporate buffoons must be held accountable, Jesse. Yeah. That is what I believe. There's nothing like loving a baseball team, dude. Nothing like, you know, rooting for your home team, all that jazz. And I just think it's despicable when you got deadbeat owners who are just more, interested in just maximizing profit and squeezing the consumer, you know. We all know that the loyalty is to the shareholders only and that the customer is the chump. So we see that, right? We see that in certain ownerships, and it's despicable. So I think a salary floor is a great idea. Get some of these bums to build fans, right? I think that's the goal of the game, you know, build it. So I'm all for a salary floor. I'm indifferent about a salary cap, but I would love to see how it would work. Really hoping we don't get a work stoppage, though, Jess. I did see one funny thing. After Devin Williams signed with the Mets, he had a post on his Instagram that literally was just calling out all these Yankees fans. He's like, man, for a fan base that really didn't want me on your team, like, y'all are really fucking mad that I signed with the Mets, like, LOL.
I love that.
And I just, like, that is amazing. But that's New York, baby.
Yeah, I love it. By the way, something we didn't mention about the Dylan Cease contract that I think is a perfect time to mention it now. Brandon, this is going to come as a shock to you, and you might want to, like, I'm going to give you a trigger warning right now, okay?
Trigged.
You know. This contract comes with deferred money.
Whoa.
Only the Blue Jays are deferring money. He's deferring money.
Whoa. Only the bad guy Dodgers do that. Only the bad guy Dodgers do that. So, you're telling me fake news.
That's all I got today, Brandon. One last thing. We have to end it here. Our old friend Josh Reddick has come out of hiding, you know, because he's showing his face again. He's coming out of the little sewer that he lives in, and he admitted that he was wrong about Yoshinobu Yamamoto's contract because he was responding to Dodger fans. He says he's not going to apologize for what he said when he said that, how do you give $325 million to a guy that has never pitched in Major League Baseball? But he did give some credit to Yamamoto and said that he was wrong about the contract. Brandon, do you accept Josh Reddick's response?
No, dude. The guy was such a bum, throwing fires under the rug, saying like, oh, that guy's not a team player because he didn't keep our cheating secret a secret. But also,
that was such a weird thing to say, dude.
But only Josh Reddick himself, Altuve, and some other guy, I can't think of his name, they were the only three guys who were against it, who didn't cheat, but also, like, they didn't cheat. But they did cheat.
Let me say something about Josh Reddick, Brandon. His highest batting average of his career was in 2017. His highest OPS of his career was in 2017. He hit... The only time he ever hit above 300 was 2017 with the Astros. The only time that he hit above 800 OPS was 2017 with the Astros, but he swears that he didn't follow the banging of the trash can, even though he admits that he was there when guys were doing it and says, well, Mike Fiers was there banging the trash can. And I'm over this, Brandon. I've let this go. I've moved on. We've won three World Series since then, but he's the one saying that we're all fucking crazy, even though he's the one who had the best numbers of his career that one season and expects us to believe that he didn't benefit from it at all. Okay, fine. You didn't bang on a trash. You didn't follow the banging of the trash cans, but you benefited from it. Your numbers benefited exactly. from it, dude. You had the best season of your career, and you're telling me that you didn't cheat? Fuck you. Shut the fuck up, Josh Reddick.
If fucking you're telling idiot. Me you didn't cheat, why did the GM get removed from baseball permanently? If nobody Dude. Cheated, why did your manager get suspended from baseball for a year?
It
if nobody cheated, Jesse, why did these players that rolled over on their teammates who were also cheating have to take yeah. like plea deals with the league? I'm talking about Bregman and Correa and Altuve. I think Springer was in on there too. But dude, like Jesse, this is why I'm right there with you, dude. I'm fucking over it. I don't care. You know, it was shocking to find out. Like, I had moved. Like,
he's talking about it. Like,
and
I'm
this
not,
is my point. Like, is he is the one talking about it because he has never held any responsibility for his role in it. None of these guys have ever taken accountability for it. He can laugh his way all the way to the bank. You know, hey, he's paid whatever. He's got that ring. He's not apologizing for anything. Cool, man. Well, nobody's buying your BS either. Even if fucking everybody in Houston and including Josh Reddick thinks that Jose Altuve never cheated. Well, the public disagrees because no one's ever taken accountability.
But since Brandon, it's
going to be the only thing he's remembered forever, and it's why he's going to be stuck talking about it forever. That's why Josh Reddick will always be known as a rat-faced cheater, my brother.
And also, it does not matter if Altuve and Reddick weren't hitting when the trash cans were being banged. Altuve won an MVP over Aaron Judge in 2017. Josh Reddick had the best numbers of his career in 2017. While guys were cheating in the lineup, whether they were doing it or not is irrelevant because not only were they benefiting from it, but they sure didn't seem to care about breaking the news to the league that they were cheating, even though they acknowledge they were cheating. He acknowledges they were banging trash cans. They were cheating. But I didn't do it. I didn't benefit from it. Bullshit. You obviously did. You won a World Series, you got the MVP, and you had the best season of your career. You benefited from it. You didn't want to be a whistleblower because you knew you were benefiting from it. Give me a fucking break. That's 100%. All we got, Brandon. That's the end of the episode. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. This is Deferred Collusion, and I am so happy to be back. Brandon.
Woo! Not just back, but back-to-back World Series champs. Ladies, gents, thank you again for joining us. That is my brother in arms, the King of Crespi, the Slick One himself. That's Jesse Rowe. You know me, I'm Brandon B, your blue-collar boys right here, bringing back the deferred collusion style of baseball reporting. Hope you guys had fun. Hit us in the comments. We love talking to you. Like, subscribe, share, whatever helps us out. And you know, always, we love you.